Oh, yes, Mr. Delaporte. Exum Priory has been the subject of archaeological debate for many years now. Most unusual structure, combining features every era of human habitation, from recent times all the way back to the Paleolithic area. I believe I am correct, Dr. Thornton.
Quite so, Sir William. I've never excavated there, of course, for it's a little out of my line, but I understand that beneath the Roman levels are still older courses going back, well, to the dawn of time. It would be most interesting to have a look, though I must say, Lady Alice, that I expect we'll find more with spades and picks than with crystal balls.
Don't scoff at the supernatural, Professor Thornton. We at the Society are committed to the scientific study of the paranormal. Many of your colleagues take psychic phenomena quite seriously indeed.
Yes. My old friend, Sir Oliver Lodge, seems quite interested in the field. Still, you'll have to poke about in some dirty, dusty corners, my dear. A musty old archaeological site is scarcely the place for a delicate young woman.
Oh, I really don't think my delicacy will be a problem, or the dust either, for that matter. I once spent a night alone in the burial chamber of a pyramid in Egypt. The cellars of Exum Priory can hardly be dustier than that.
Well, if we can find our way down to them, do you gentlemen suppose you could discover some means of moving the altar? I don't want to damage it, you understand, for it may be historically valuable in its own right. But could we contrive to move it?
Oh, I dare say we could manage. Rather like a treasure hunt, isn't it? Let's see, will August 7th do?
Oh, yes, that would be fine. Mr. Delaporte, does that date suit you?
Admirably. Thank you, Lady Alice. Gentlemen.
Not at all.
Should be good fun. Rather a bustin' holiday, eh?
I returned to Exum Priory 3 days before our projected expedition. The hideous dreams did not cease. I fell asleep to the damnable sound of the rats in the walls, only to visit in my sleep that hideous grotto where the filthy swineherd kept his flabby fungus beasts and where the rats descended in a torrent to gnaw them to skeletons. Thankfully, and at last, the seventh arrived. Equipped with powerful electric searchlights, we descended to the crypt, and soon enough, Sir William discovered the secret of the altar.
There! It's a pit! I've seen something like this in a dolmen on Malta. Surprisingly ingenious, the entire altar serves as a kind of trap door.
It is an altar, then.
Oh, assuredly, assuredly. And the brown stains. Well, the old religions believed in blood sacrifice.
Human sacrifice, Sir William. I sense restless spirits here. Still earthbound. Held by some bonds of terror and rage.
Yes, 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 to be sure. Is everyone ready? Delaporte.
Yeah.
Norris. Lady Alice. Are you absolutely certain you want to accompany us? It may be rather filthy.
Lead the way, gentlemen. I will follow.
And so will this black fellow, it seems. Stay out from under foot, Voodoo, and you may come along.
At least the air smells fresh.
Here, gentlemen, here. We had better use the searchlight. Shall I lead the way?
Careful. The steps are prodigiously worn.
Careful, all. There's some sort of obstruction on the steps. Fallen masonry or...
Bones! Thousands of human bones.
Human? Thornton, paleontology is more your line. Have a look at this skull.
Massive brow ridges. There are the cranial vault, very atavistic incisors. This is the skull of an idiot, a cretin, if it's human at all. Several of the features suggest a state of primitive semi-apedon.
And yet it once contained a soul.
Dr. Thornton, what are those scratches and gouges?
Marks of teeth, Captain Norris. Well, I should say the bones have been gnawed by rats. By thousands on thousands of rats.
My God. Look at the skeletons lower down.
They were struck down while fleeing. While trying to reach the surface. Fleeing from a great horror rising from below.
Be careful. Don't fall over them. This damn stair goes deeper.
It's getting light. Is it some kind of phosphorescence?
No, no. Look to the right. daylight filtering in from fissures in the cliffs. Strange. These walls.
Ah, you've noticed it as well.
Noticed what, Professor Thornton? That the cavern is man-made, that the walls have been dug by hand?
That, but also the direction of the tunneling. The marks on the walls indicate that the tunnel was driven up from below.
Driven upwards? That's absurd. It would mean... My God. Look ahead.
Incredible.
It's power. Amazing.
Oh, God. Subterranean world.
A world of death. Of horror.
It was indeed a subterranean world. I had visited it in my nightmares. A vast, twilight grotto of enormous height, stretching away farther than the eye could see. We switched off our electric torches, for the cavern had a sort of moonlit glow about it, spilling in from innumerable small fissures in the face of the cliff. And we could see that on the distant floor of the grotto stood buildings and other architectural remains. Tumuli, a savage circle of monoliths, a low-domed Roman ruin, a Saxon pile, an early English structure of wood. But these were dwarfed by...
Bones! The whole floor is nothing but bones!
Oh, God!
There are more. Heaps of them in the darkness. I sense great pain, great terror. Long ago...
Incredible. These are degraded human bones, or bones of a human type. Anthropoid, at least. It's insane. It's like some infinitely old abattoir. As to the species, there's nothing quite like these skulls known to science.
Old Stone Age, at least.
Or older, I'd say. These skulls are more primitive in form than Piltdown Man, than Java Man, except that the bones are scarcely 3 centuries old. Somehow, here in this grotto, these primordial creatures survived until 300 years ago.
Or creatures that were once human devolved into these animals.
An infernal necropolis. An antechamber of hell.
Strange. This skeleton here, stretched on the stair, it's complete. And human, I'd say, in its main features, but I... It's blasphemous. Hideous.
You're almost fainting, old fellow. Feel better now? What is it?
Here's what upset Professor Thornton. The skeleton is human, but look at the hands. Or rather, look at the front feet.
My God, she's right. The fingers of atrophied have been modified into something like a pig's trotters. In life, these creatures must have reverted to a quadrupedal stance, rather less like humans or even apes than
like hawks.
These stone structures, they're vast hens. These things must have been herded like swine.
Like swine. Yes, like swine. And they were fed, weren't they, at the trough? Yes, for the bins have a black, dried residue of vegetable materials in the bottom. These semi-human blasphemies were kept. They were fed.
They were fattened for the slaughter until there was no one left above. No one to descend the stair. No one to feed them.
You're right, Lady Alice. You're right. In 1610, the two-legged ones ceased to care for their herds. But what happened in 1611? What happened to the four-legged ones?
Herds, droves of the damned quadruped things sealed alive in these stone pens. Imagine them, starving in the dark, turning their teeth on each other. And they broke out in hunger and terror when millions upon millions of rats invaded from below.
The rats must have subsisted for centuries on the refuse and offal from above. And when such food no longer descended to them, hunger drove the rats upward to this terrible place.
It must have been a hellish slaughter. Look here. Another stone altar. And vastly older than the one above. These inscriptions are of no tongue that I know, no human tongue.
Old. Old. I can't believe it. I won't believe it. It's Antediluvian. Fools. I see it. I see it now. The priest of Sibylle. When the Romans came, they found a cult of man-eaters. And the Romans adopted their diet.
The others were preoccupied, first with the ruins, and then with Thornton, who became increasingly disturbed. I wandered apart from them to examine my accursed legacy. God, those carrion black pits of sawn, thick bones and open skulls, the offal heaps, chasms choked with pithecanthropoid, Celtic, Roman, English bones of countless unhallowed centuries. Small wonder that the Delaports were hated and shunned in the village. For century upon century, the Delaports had, there's no other word, had preyed on the villagers. My old black cat had followed me into the dark recesses. He darted past me now, pursuing something into the inky, boundless depths of that grotto. And then I heard the sound that lured him. The eldritch scurrying of those fiend-born rats, always questing for new horrors. Against my will, I followed the sound deeper and deeper through utter darkness, through the history of my damned family, toward those grinning caverns of Earth's center where Narlathotep, the mad, faceless god, howls blindly in the darkness with the piping of two amorphous, idiot flute players.
Damn you, Yankee bastards! Burn my house, will you? Damn you! I'm a Delacour! Get out of Carfax! Get out of
here! No, no, it's not to be borne! The king insults our family! Our family, the priest of the Great Mother, shall a nurry told the man to the Delacour!
Alfred! Alfred, my son, the war ain't my boy! Damn them all! Why should a Norris live? And Alfred dies!
Oh, but in here, say, well, he's found the last of all of the respective rats here. It's voodoo, I tell you, voodoo. Damn,
yes, you've gone to the south. Teach you to faint at what my family do.
Ah, listen now, brother. Fine heart, I'll bring you strike thy master. There, take box, box, blood, box. Think of that, mercy.
Mr. Delaporte.
Think thou, Tacordia Delaporte. Will you treat me this way? Indeed, he is true and has done it.
Damn you, Norris! Don't look at me that way. I am not the demon swineherd.
That is what they say I said when they found me in the blackness. I was crouching over the half-eaten body of Captain Norris with my own cat leaping and tearing at my throat. They brought me away to this barred, padded room with fearful whispers about my heredity and experiences. Curse Brinton. I heard the explosions the same day. Brinton had them dynamite Exum Priory. He sealed the entrance to the sacred catacombs under tons of stone. They wouldn't even let me keep my cats, not even so small a morsel as Voodoo when they left me here alone. Burton, Burton's in the next room, but they prevent me from talking to him. I can hear him, though, if I press my ear to the wall late at night.
Generation after generation, Delaporte's being eaten. They come up from hell. The rats.
Lady Alice is in seclusion, they say. Her crystal ball must have cracked. That devil Brinton will try to suppress the fact. Yes, yeah. But when I speak of poor Norris, they accuse me of a hideous thing. But they must know that I did not do it. I did not bury my teeth in his flabby fungus flesh, did not tear it from his bones. It must have been the rats. Yes, it must have been the demon rats, not I. Dear God, not I. The rats, those hellish rats. The doctors smile and say there are no sounds, but I hear them. Their scampering never lets me sleep. The rats followed me here. Even now, they race behind the padding of this room. They beckon me down to horrors even greater than I have known. Down, always down. Can't you hear them? They say you can hear them. There they are, damn you. Say you can hear them. The rats. The rats.
Thank you.
The Rat in the Walls by H.P. Lovecraft was adapted for audio by Brad Strickland. Mr. Harlan Ellison starred as Delaporte. The production featured the voices of Thomas E. Fuller, Brad Strickland, Joyce Lee, Burl Boykin, Lee Millman, Brad Lineweaver, and Bill Jackson as Norries. Foley effects were by Daniel Taylor. The Rats in the Wall was directed by Thomas E. Fuller and produced by Henry Howard. Rats in the Walls is a production of the Atlanta Radio Theater Company, recorded live at Georgia Fantasy Con 1990.